It's Wednesday, May 21st, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 13, looking at verses 24 through 43 with part one of a message titled, Life Among the Weeds.
There are two seeds in the earth. There are the children of God, and as the parable says here, the children of the devil. The good seed being sown are the sons of the kingdom. The bad being sown are the sons of the wicked one. The devil has taken his seed and desperately tried to intermingle the wicked sons of his kingdom with the sons of God so closely that at times it's indistinguishable.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, if you're a visitor this morning, we are working through the Gospel of Matthew, first book of the New Testament. We last time looked at the parable of the sower, really better titled, the parable of the soils. And today we're continuing now looking at the parable of the weeds and the mustard seed and leaven. So I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 13, found on page 973, and we'll read at verse 24. Down to verse 43. Well, let's give our attention this morning to the Lord's wonderful word to us. Verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds also appeared. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, An enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Put another parable before them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. All these parables Jesus said to the crowds in parables. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. Well, we are continuing our study here in Matthew as Jesus is giving to the crowds now. We looked at this shift in the book last time. He's giving to the crowds parables. This was a surprising move, but maybe it shouldn't be so surprising because there had been so much rejection and the responses to Jesus had been horrendous. In the previous chapter, they had said he has a demon, remember. His own family thought he was crazy. This kind of response to the ministry is confusing to us. And isn't it something that we see this kind of response to the Son of God himself in the gospel ministry as he walked on this earth? Why is there so much rejection to what amounts to be the best news he is giving to the world? God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This has been good news. This has been Jesus going out healing and helping people and being merciful and forgiving sins and raising the dead. And these are the responses he's getting. Why so much conflict? Why so much opposition? Why so much turmoil? Hasn't that been the great frustration for us? I mean, just in the history of the Escondido URC, think of the conflict, think of the turmoil, think of the difficulty that has come, hasn't it? It's happened for every church in this age. We want everyone to hear and to know the forgiveness of sins, but the reality is there is a very serious warfare happening in the kingdom of God. There is a very serious warfare happening in his rule, among his rule, in a sin-cursed world that we find ourselves. And what we have in front of us this morning is Jesus helping us to understand this. That's what these parables are accomplishing for us. When the disciples came and asked him, why are you doing this? Why are you speaking in parables? Remember what he said plainly to them. Because to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to them it's not been given. Parables were meant to do two things. They were meant to reveal and bring greater clarity to those blessed to hear, and they were meant to conceal and bring judgment on those who were refusing him. So this is what we see here with these parables. Jesus says something wonderful that we looked at last time in the midst of these parables, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. And blessed are your ears, for they hear. Jesus was essentially saying the mysteries of the kingdom have been given to you as a gift to understand. And your desire to understand, you notice the structure of this? He tells the parable, the crowds go away, and it's to his own, to his disciples, that he's disclosing the mysteries of the kingdom. And that's just what he's doing for us today. The mysteries of the kingdom are being preached to you. If you have ears to hear, do you hear? See, that's how he ended it. Now, as we looked at in the middle of these parables today, I want you to look down in verse 34, where he says very clearly in chapter 13, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. That is taken from Psalm 78 from Asaph. And the beginning of that psalm says this: give ear, O people, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. This is God. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have taught us. And he speaks of the foundation of the world, that he would utter from the foundation these mysteries and speak. And here we have fulfillment of this. Here is the Son of God on earth taking on a human nature and speaking parables to fulfill that very truth of the prophets. So, the very telling of this parable illustrates this truth today, making it clear who the children of God are. And we see that the crowds receive it, walk away, hear it, but then Jesus explains it again. And this is important. Notice the close connection to this, to the parable of the soils that we considered last week. Now we come to the parable of the wheat and the tares, the mustard seed and the leaven. And the overarching question, I think, as we look at these with some detail here, is what is Jesus clarifying for us? What is he speaking? What mystery of the kingdom are we intended to understand? And it's simply this: These parables, in the way that Jesus gives them, couching in two other parables in between this parable of the weeds, help us to understand the challenges and the difficulties we face in the kingdom as the righteous, or his people, and the wicked grow together. The wheat and the tares are growing together. And that causes all kinds of challenges for us. And if you don't understand this, you can see the confusion that you'll end up with. So let's look at that with this in mind, what he's clarifying for us to understand the nature of the kingdom of God, the struggle in the kingdom of God, to understand what's happening in the kingdom of God, so that we would not think this is normal in his kingdom, that he is going to remedy this soon. And he put another parable before them. Notice he's explaining kingdom life. It's like a man, notice there in 24, it's like a man, he says, we can read it, the kingdom of heaven may be considered to a man who sowed good seed in his field. This really good man, he built a beautiful field. He had a wonderful field. It was like a garden. You can't help but to think back to Genesis here. All the theology of it's right here. Everything that was made was beautiful. God took delight in this garden. But the servant said to the man, we're seeing something terrible that's happened in your field, in your garden. Next to all this good plant that you planted, next to all this good wheat, there are weeds popping up everywhere. Now, you know, there is nothing more offensive in a beautiful garden than weeds. They're ugly. They destroy the beauty of what is there. They affect the good plants. I mean, this is just why we all have children, to go have them pull them up. They love it. I'm not doing it. Is there anything worse than pulling weeds? The term for tare here is interesting. It's an obnoxious weed. It's called Allolium timolentum, a fungus that grows on this kind of weed that if any man or animal eats, they would die because it's poisonous. This is what Jesus is referring to with tares. Well, the servants say to the master, how could this be? You sowed only good seed. You sowed good seed in your field. And the master, the good man, says, listen, something sinister has happened. Something sinister has happened. An enemy has come in and done this. Remember, our Heidelberg speaks that when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they fell, What do we say, even though we understand sin and the fault of sin? One thing the Heidelberg makes very clear is just what this is saying to us. They fell at the instigation of the devil. The theology is embedded right here. Then remember in Genesis, in the curse, he spoke of two seeds, and these two seeds would develop in the earth. They would have the curse of Genesis 3 and the first announcement of the gospel, he said very clearly, he made a distinction between two kinds of peoples. There's the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, the seed of Christ. That's why it is a lie when our political leaders say we're all children of God. That is just not true. There are two seeds in the earth. There are the children of God, and as the parable says here, the children of the devil. So the angels come, which is anticipating the explanation. You want us to pull them up? I mean, it'd be really easy for the angels to weed. Let's jump to the sort of heart of the parable here. Listen to his response. No. No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, I want to jump down to the explanation. It's remarkable. The disciples come to him. Remember, they're blessed to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. The crowds hear this. They have no interest in this. They want to understand this. Remember, this is evidence of the blessing. The soils that he had just described that aren't interested in God and his kingdom, notice there, these are the soils that have rejected this word, but the good soil hears and understands the word and grasps the word and bears fruit in his life. That's what he just said. So it's the good soil that Jesus is now speaking to so that they would bear fruit. We have a strikingly clear presentation of meaning here of this parable. It's just one blow after blow after blow for clarity, isn't it? He just says, the sower of the good seed is the Son of Man. It's me, says Jesus. I'm the sower. The field is the world. The good seed being sown are the sons of the kingdom. The bad being sown are the sons of the wicked one. Now, when we begin to understand the importance of this, imagine not understanding that truth. God is telling us that all throughout history, there has been a development in his kingdom, in his creation, in his general rule over all the world. So we've kind of moved from the hearing of the word out now in the second parable to the world, looking at the world and what's happening and how we live in this world. In the great sphere of his kingdom rule, the devil has taken his seed and desperately tried to intermingle the wicked sons of his kingdom, of his influence, with the sons of God so closely that at times it's indistinguishable. You understand the challenge of that? He says that when he says, if you uproot the weeds, you might get a wheat. He's telling us this. I think the answer is simple. To help us and encourage us. Think of all the discouragements we see living in this world. How frustrated is it to see wickedness everywhere? Think of what it does to you. And we see it in our own hearts. And we might never stop and think of the real thing that's happening. The real thing that's happening. As if all this is okay. As if all this is normal. As if this is the end for which God made things, that it would just be like this. That this is acceptable. Think of all the problems we see. And all the levels of, and just the, you know, you can't even go on social media now and you see live murders and deaths of people. We're not made to see that, but that's what we see. Jesus wanted perspective on this for us. He wants to help us. He wants to encourage us. The devil has attempted to rip up everything good. He is like a muddy dog running through your beautiful white living room. Has that ever happened? Tell me about it if it has. The great question of the parable is this. Why does the Lord keep this going? Why does this seem like it never ends? It's a striking thing, verse 26, when he says, but when the grain sprouted, it produced a crop. But then the tares also appeared. In other words, what Jesus is saying is this obnoxious weed in his kingdom, you can't tell the difference in the early stages from the wheat until they mature. They're still in the early stage, they're still a blade. You just can't tell the difference. But at some point, on the wheat, an ear appears, and on the tares, this blade appears. But at some point, the kind of fruit appropriate to what kind of son it is shows itself. And that's why Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. If God's word is doing the work to bear fruit in people's lives, that's just what we'll see. And I see it all the time among you. But notice what Jesus said. This phenomenon doesn't show up until one buds. Now, you think of yourself. I've used this example, but I think it's helpful because it's my own experience of my own father. People know I was raised in the Reformed Church. We went to the Reformed Church all of our life. I was baptized in it. And he was a very well-known basketball coach in the community at the local public school, a large public school. And every week, my dad was so faithful to have us in church. But he would tell you, it was all merely routine. There was absolutely no budding in his life until 50. He wasn't regenerate, but he was in church every week. Now, it's a pretty remarkable thing to think of the Lord's patience, isn't it? He just did it. We stopped by the local store every Sunday and got our lifesavers. It wasn't mints, it was lifesavers. We did the routine. And yet there was a little prayer in the home. That's not an indictment. That's that the Lord worked in him to bud that life at a certain point when he had not been that way for 50 years. He'd tell you that. Are there any like that here? The word is absent really from life, but you just are here for the routine, the tradition, the culture.
Well, that's all the time we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're glad you joined us. We hope you'll join us next time for part two of this message in Matthew chapter 13. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.